This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Francisco Martinez Cuello. The Bethel City Council voted on 7 agenda items before heading into executive session last night. The only motion that did not pass was to direct the city to hire Xavier Mason as city finance director. The vote was split 3 yeses and 3 noes. Normally the 7 city council members vote to avoid a tie, but Vice Mayor Henry Batchelor excused himself from the vote due to a conflict of interest. His spouse works in the city finance department. During the discussion, Mayor Rose Henderson expressed her concerns.
Doesn't have the qualifications, the minimum requirements for the position. There's several of them in there that he doesn't qualify for.
Xavier Mason was allowed to speak and address council members' questions. He stated he is a few hours short of completing the required courses before taking the CPA exam.
So I do hope and intend to continue studying and eventually pass.
Mason is talking about the CPA exam, which takes a considerable amount of effort to prepare for, study, and pass. The mayor was concerned about the high salary of $130,000 and how lesser-paid city employees would react.
You've got directors that make a heck of a lot less than the 130, and they've been here 16, 17, 18 years. I don't think that's fair to the rest of them.
City manager Pete Williams noted that possessing a CPA certification is not a requirement for the position. He also justified the salary by citing Mason's job performance and his consistency. Williams said Mason was a good fit with the staff.
And one thing I'd say for Xavier, like I said earlier, is that, and I didn't always get that from other finance directors that we've hired, is that he's been here on the job. And it's been the biggest thing. And he's been able to work with the staff.
The mayor was not alone with her concerns. Councilmember Beth Hessler voiced her opinions as well.
Care to have our finance director to be contracted and directly accountable to the council.
Doing so, Councilmember Hessler said, would hopefully alleviate some of the pressure on the finance director and the city manager. Whether to contract financial management out was left unresolved until the next meeting next year. Also unresolved is the audit of city finances. A muskox attacked and killed a man near Nome on Tuesday, according to Alaska State Troopers. Trooper spokesperson Austin McDaniel says Curtis Werland was trying to haze a group of muskox away from his dog kennel at home when one of the muskox attacked him. He was declared dead at the scene. Werland worked in Nome as a court services officer since 2009. McDaniel says a 911 dispatcher told troopers about the fatal attack. Alaska Wildlife Troopers and Alaska Department of Fish and Game will investigate. McDaniel says they may decide to kill the muskox if it's deemed a public safety threat. McDaniel said Werland's death is tragic.
Curtis Werland was a dedicated member of the Alaska Department of Public Safety. He served the state well as a court services officer, and he will certainly be missed.
For people, fatal muskox encounters are rare, but news outlets have documented the animals attacking and killing dogs in rural Alaska. The U.S. Senate wants to name a couple of federal buildings and also a volcano after the late Representative Don Young. Both of Alaska's senators are pleased about it. The Don Young Recognition Act honors the legacy of Young, who passed away in March 2022 after serving Alaska in the House of Representatives for 49 years. It would designate one of the most active volcanoes in the Aleutian Islands, currently known as Mount Cerberus, as Mount Young, and name the federal office building in Fairbanks the Don Young Federal Office Building, and the Job Corps Center located in Palmer the Don Young Alaska Job Corps Center. Senator Lisa Murkowski called it, quote, a fitting representation of the always active, sometimes unpredictable congressman for all of Alaska. And Senator Dan Sullivan said, quote, I can't think of a symbol that better captures Don's authentic, tenacious, indomitable Alaskan spirit than a rumbling Aleutian volcano. Mount Young, the Don Young Alaska Job Corps Center, and the Don Young Federal Building will remind future Alaskans about this once-in-a-generation public servant and all that he accomplished for the people and state he loved so much. Both were speaking in the Senate floor in support of the bill. A trial is underway in Palmer that could oust David Eastman from his seat in the legislature. The Wasilia Republican is a member of the Oath Keepers. Other members of that group participated in the attack on the U.S. Capitol on January 6, 2021. Eastman isn't accused of that. Instead, the trial is the very first test of a 66-year-old disloyalty clause in the state constitution. Alaska Public Media's Liz Ruskin reports.
The disloyalty clause says no one can hold office who belongs to an organization that advocates overthrowing the government by force. Attorney Gorian Dedukian represents a Mat-Su voter who claims that Eastman's membership in the Oath Keepers disqualifies him from serving as a legislator.
There are only two elements that we need to prove to win the case. The first element is that Representative Eastman aids or belongs to the Oath Keepers. And the second element is that the Oath Keepers advocates concrete action to overthrow the U.S. government or has actually engaged in such conduct.
In his opening argument, Dedukian said Eastman is a founding lifetime member of the group, has contributed more than $1,000, and even after January 6, took no steps to resign. To judge by the first day of testimony, most of the case is focused on what the Oath Keepers and what exactly they advocated for and did. Dedukian says they combined a dangerous mix of insurrectionist rhetoric and seditious conduct.
On their public website, the organization advocated for a, quote, bloody revolution against the current administration. They said that they were going to, quote, take to arms and fight, and they were going to fight either with or without President Trump's support and whether or not he would call them up as a militia or not. And on January 6th, they did exactly what they said they were going to do.
Eastman's attorney, Joe Miller, chose to delay his opening argument until after the other side presents its case. But in pretrial arguments and in objections, Miller said that the disloyalty disqualification can only apply to conduct that isn't protected by the First Amendment's right to free speech and free association. Some Oath Keepers have been charged with crimes related to January 6. Leader Stuart Rhodes has been convicted of seditious conspiracy. But Miller argues that the charges aren't proof of what the Oath Keepers as an organization advocates for.
The only thing that we know is Stuart Rhodes is the leader. Otherwise, what we have are just a handful of 33 out of 38,000 Oath Keepers that have been charged with crime.
Miller also emphasizes that the plaintiffs have to prove that Oath Keepers provided imminent incitement to acts leading to the overthrow of the government. The first witness in the case was John Lewis, an expert in domestic extremism at George Washington University. Lewis, testifying over Zoom, called the Oath Keepers one of the largest anti-government militias in the United States, and he says they did more than talk.
My opinion is that both before and during January 6th, the Oath Keepers called for and attempted to execute a plan that would have resulted in the overthrow of the U.S. government on January 6th.
Eastman easily won re-election last month, but Judge Jack McKenna has put the certification of his election on hold while the case is pending. The uncertainty is one factor complicating the organization of the state House leadership. Eastman sat beside Miller in the courtroom. Dozens of people watched the live stream of the trial. Miller's list of witnesses he'd like to call includes Rhodes and other leaders of the Oath Keepers who are now incarcerated, which Miller acknowledges will make their participation difficult. For Alaska Public Media, I'm Liz Ruskin.
This is KYUK News. I'm Francisco Martinez Cuello. Kuyana for listening. Please share your news tips, comments, or suggestions. You can email us at news@kyuk.org or message us on Facebook. And stay tuned for News Yuktun coming up.